All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles again to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll back up to verse 8 and come forward. He says here, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ the Messiah as risen from the dead, as the prophesied king, descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as risen from the dead. Why would you make a statement like that? Why would you talk about remember that Jesus Christ has arisen from the dead when this was the last predominant thing that was realized about him for all of his followers, the fact that he was risen from the dead? He goes on to say, as prophesied king. It was prophesied that he would come and that he would live among us and that he would be our Messiah and that he would die, right? Okay, so he's saying, now remember that this prophesied king, the one that was spoken of, is risen from the dead. Amen. There is something about having a thought life in regard to things being resurrected that brings a certain power into your life. Things being resurrected, having that mindset. Amen? We're talking about a risen Lord. Now, this series is all about rediscovering the glory, rediscovering the honor and the renown that is bestowed upon believers. So now that operates in this new and living way, which is possible because Jesus did rise from the dead. Amen. That's why it's even possible. So we have to live our lives with that kind of mindset, one that we're serving a resurrected Savior. But if you're going to concentrate on the fact that he was resurrected, then you have to be aware of him dying and what he died for and what his death involved and what was accomplished in his death. Something was accomplished in his death which makes his resurrection even the more significant. Amen? All right. Now, when you think in terms of what his death accomplished, that's where you and I come in, because we have to be mindful of the fact that we're living in the resurrection power, the resurrection state of Jesus is where our Christianity is revealed and even exists. It's in the resurrected place of his glory. And considering that, then, we must understand that everything that is akin to darkness and weakness and sin, when it comes down to you, because you've named Christ as your Savior, has died. Sin and death has no longer any power over you. Amen. Amen. So now this is the reason why we need to think of our Lord in terms of being a resurrected Savior. Amen. Because he represents everything that we have in the resurrected state. That's what he represents. Now, he said in verse 9, he said, for that gospel I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal. For that gospel. Now, in Paul's day, the persecution came against him in a very strong physical manner, so much so that he was in prison, He was in chains. And in other situations, they stoned him to death. God raised him up. He was run out of town. All kinds of persecution. And you can read about some of those things. But it took on a very aggravated physical form. Now, it's happening in the world today, but it's primarily happening through groups like ISIS. You know, you get persecuted by other people by their words and by their wanting to remove themselves from your presence and ostracize you and things like that, right? In Paul's time, he was facing this persecution, you know, much like ISIS is hating Christians and Jews today, right? Now, they're hating Christians and Jews not because of the gospel, but because of their religion. But Paul was being persecuted by religious people because of the religion that they were exercising and because of what they believed, right? Not counting him to be the true Messiah that was to come and to be a savior to Israel. So, you know, on the contrary, it was for religious purposes from the religious mindset of the Jew which was abiding under the law, as it were, the old covenant system, that were thrusting persecution on Paul and hating Paul and wanting to imprison him and wanting to get him off the scene. Because he was preaching a gospel that was the answer to their religion had they been seeking it. He was preaching the truth. He was preaching the answer, you know, to what they were all seeking. But they weren't ready for it. Amen. Now, you're persecuted today in another realm as well. In the realm, a spiritual realm, you suffer persecution based on your receiving the gospel that Paul preached, for the purpose of rediscovering this glory that God has ordained for every one of our lives, so that we can function like Jesus functioned when he was in the earth realm. Now, the Lord is settled on this thing, and he won't have it any other way, and that's why he said, you're not only going to do the works that I've done, but you're going to do greater works than what I've done. He's not jealous over you outdoing him in this present age. And because he's not jealous over you outdoing him, then he's free to give you all of the revelation, knowledge that you need to get you to the place where you can flow freely in the gifts of God. All nine of them. Amen. He's not jealous whatsoever. Amen. Now, we've got to get hungry for this. And you have to do whatever's necessary so that you don't miss anything. That's right. We have to lose a love, and it's a prideful state. It's a love for self that makes us embarrassed to do some things so that we don't miss what God is saying. That's a love for self. And it's prideful. Amen. But our hunger for what God is giving us so that we can rediscover this glorious place, our hunger for that has got to trump all of that and put all that down. Amen. Because too many of us are loving ourselves more than we love God. So he said, for that gospel, I'm suffering affliction. Understand, for your hunger, your desire for the truth that God is giving us in these last days, and it's coming in a great way with abundance. Revelation is just flooding the church. And God is moving in places that you don't think he's moving. And glorious things are happening because we're closed-minded and we think that we got the best. No one can have anything better than we. See? And God is going to show you that you're wrong. Amen. And that's going to free you up so that you can be a part of his big picture. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. He said, for that gospel I am suffering affliction. So the affliction that comes against you in this life is because of the revelation that God is forcing into the church. See? That's why you would be afflicted. That's the only reason why you would be afflicted, other than what you put in your mouth to make yourself sick. Right? The stuff you can't seem to get over that you're addicted to, but you refuse to say that you're addicted to. It's a refusal on your part. But other than those common things, the affliction that comes upon you in the way of trials, tests, and temptations, you know, those things come upon you because of the revelation that God's forcing into the body of Christ to resurrect his church, to bring it to a viable place where it gives a true witness of the glory and the power of God. Amen. That's what's missing in our world, is this witness of the glory and the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, he said he's wearing chains like a criminal. Amen. If you want to talk about chains for believers, those chains for most believers are things that we are bound by. Things that we're bound by that hold us back. Amen. He said, but the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. So the devil can't stop it. Amen. The devil can't stop it. You might as well envision yourself as being in the pot with all of the other black-eyed peas, and the eye is turned up red hot, and whether you like it or not, you're going to boil with the rest of the peas. You're going to move around. Amen. And you're going to bump into others. Amen. See, now, what happens in that is that God is going to call many, and a few are going to be chosen. But everybody is going to have equal opportunity. Everyone will have equal opportunity because God is a just God. And knowing that you and I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we have to give an account for what we did with what we know, then he has to bring all of this on an equal plane, giving everybody equal opportunity, because he desires that all be blessed. Amen. It's not that God is trying to weed out bad ones in the body. If you're saved, he's not trying to weed you out. He's trying to get you intertwined with him, partaking of his divine nature. Amen. See, God is not trying to weed you out or trying to separate you. Paul said those that went out from him, you know, they went out because they were not a part of the whole. They were there in pretense or on the for religious reasons or some other reason. But they really weren't a part of it. But God's not trying to weed anything out when it comes down to the genuine body of Christ. He's trying to bring the same truth to everybody so that all can have birth within them the same glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, he went on to say in verse 10, he said, therefore, because of this revelation of the gospel now and getting that gospel to the people, Paul had an inner understanding that the message of the gospel being preached to the people would be the thing that would create within them an opportunity for them to grow and to be developed and come fully to what God had ordained for them. We have the mistaken understanding that salvation is all about us missing hell and going to heaven. See, Paul didn't preach that. That wasn't the gospel that he preached. That wasn't what he taught it. He was involved in teaching what would bring us to a place of fulfillment and development. Therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground. Amen. with patience, because brother, it's going to take some patience. And endure everything. Now, what kind of resolve is that? It doesn't make any difference what comes against me. I am not going to get off this course that God has put me on, no matter what it is. I refuse to get off the course that God has put me on. Amen. Being conformed to the very image of Christ himself. That's my MO. That's my modus operandi. That's what motivates me, is being conformed to that very image of Christ himself. Amen. He said, therefore, I am ready to persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen. For the sake, because see, the outcome of what I give myself obediently to is going to bring blessing to the body of Christ, God's chosen, his elect. Amen. So that they may, they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the religious mind immediately goes to being saved from hell and delivered into heaven. But Paul's understanding of salvation was much more than that. Amen. See, we created the gospel of miss hell, go to heaven. We created that. See, if you study the word of God, you will hear about hell, because it is a real place. And there are going to be many that's going to end up there. All right. However, you're going to find a lot more. You're going to find much in the scripture that has to do with our being conformed to the image of Jesus. Amen. And walking in that Christ likeness, right? And glorifying God. Amen. He said that he was ready to persevere, stand his ground with patience, and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what kind of love is it that makes you want to do something that apparently is very difficult for somebody else? Not yourself, somebody else. What kind of love is that? You're willing to lay down your life, persevere, be patient, endure to the end, come what may, and it's all for somebody else. That's the same kind of love that was in Christ that has been developed in Paul that should be developed in us. Amen? And really what it is a love, a pure divine love for God. A love that is so pure and so divine that it loves beyond you loving yourself. You love God for who he is, even to your own personal damage. That's the kind of love that he's developing. It's the same kind of love that God has and God is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. All right. He said that they too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. See, our religious mind always puts things that are eternal out there in the place that we call heaven. I'm an eternal being now. Spirits do not die. They just don't die. Amen. That's why God had to create a place for disembodied spirits that rebelled against him, that became demons. They can't die. They will always exist. But they're going to be confined in this place called hell so they can do you no damage and do God no damage. You understand that? You are an eternal being. Now, if you are an eternal being now, why think in terms of living for an eternity? You're already living in eternity. Amen. That's who you are. You are eternal. Amen. Amen? And this glory is eternal. Amen. Right? And this is the reward for us that are serving God. But God is not waiting for you to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful service. Now I'm going to place my glory on you." That's not the way that God desires for it to work, or else he wouldn't have said through the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now, even as it is in heaven now." What's the point in saying that if you're going to get it when you get there? See, this is a right now phenomenon. This is something that we right now are to experience. Verse 11, the saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. Amen. Now that's the resurrection side. We did die with him. Amen. We died with him even before we realized that God had called us. While we were yet dead in sin, Christ died for us. Yes. That's when we died with him, when he died. Now, when the Holy Spirit was able to bring conviction strong enough on us to make us realize that we needed the Lord, and we accepted that, then we began to realize that what he had died for 2,000 years ago, we had when he died. We obtained it then. But now we're beginning to realize it because we have allowed the Holy Spirit to bring us by grace through faith to the salvation experience. And our eyes are open. Amen. We're growing. Verse 12. If we endure. I said if. One of the hardest words in the Bible. If. The second smallest word in the Bible is if. The first one is I. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we endure. Watch the religious mind again. Holding out to the end to see what it's going to be. Amen? That's the religious mindset. You need to endure now. Amen. For what God has purposed in your life, in this moment, in this time, in our generation, we need to endure. What are you going to endure? Those afflictions. The suffering of affliction and the afflicting suffering that you suffer having nothing to do with sickness and disease. Come on now. But the affliction of suffering that you are to suffer comes about because of your pressing into the things of God, and not only because you're pressing into it, but because that revelation is being forced into the body of Christ. Amen. God has no choice but to bring the truth. I mean, the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us into all truth. Amen. Don't be like a horse that God has to put a bridle on to get you anywhere. He has to pull on you, you know, and to the left and to the right, and forcefully tap you on the back parts to make you go where you need to go. Amen? That's not being led, that's being forced. The revelation is coming forcefully, but you're supposed to take it and run with it. Walk with it. Amen? Do life with it. So if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Hallelujah. We shall also reign with him. Amen. Now this is right now, this life, reigning in this life right now, in power, in glory, right now. Amen. Being in charge. Amen. God's word will show you what your world is supposed to look like so that you can create it. God's word will show you what your world is supposed to look like so that you can create it. We have the mindset that somebody else is supposed to come along and give us some type of a blessing or chance or opportunity that causes us to walk in some kind of prosperous place. Well, that's already happened. Jesus did that. Jesus did that, right? So when I concentrate on what the word says about who I am, what I have, and what I can do, then I have the power and the authority to create my world and then walk right into it. Amen? When I say my world is the world that God created for me. But I'm taking ownership of it. See, if I don't take ownership of it, then I'm going to always be in a place that works like the welfare system. I'm looking for somebody to give me a handout. Help me along. I don't have that much patience. Do you? I mean, I just don't have that much patience. Praise God. I can see where God wants me to live, so that's what I'm talking. Amen. That motivates my sowing. That motivates my obedience. Amen? I heard Jesse Duplantis say this, and it blessed me. He said, the streets in heaven have no gravel in them. You know, think about that. No gravel whatsoever. And I think that the roads that they build for us out here have at least 9 inches of it. In heaven, you would have 9 inches of gold, pure gold. No gravel whatsoever. Amen? Now, you know, you bend your mind around that, and certain parts of you, you know, resist that. There just ain't no need for that. All you're going to do is walk on it. Isn't that right? I mean, when you think about it in a rational way, there's certain parts of you that just thinks, well, I wouldn't walk on it. It's too precious. But you see, yes, you would. Once you get there and you discard all of that stuff that's in you now, you would. But right now, you have to deal with it. See? And that's what you're overcoming to rule and reign with Christ. See? To see him in his power and his goodness means that you're going to have to discard some things that you've developed in your own life and your own thinking. Some of that's got to go. Because that's at enmity with God and what God wants to do in your life now. Amen. How many of you want to take the world for Jesus? Come on, let me see your hand. You want to take the world for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Then there are some things you got to overcome, because to take the world for Jesus, you're not going to get there in your little putt-putt that you're driving right now. You have to overcome the fear of flying. You have to overcome the fear of great bodies of water. You have to travel. Amen. Some of you are afraid to practice. You just say, well, when God wants me to do it, I'll do it. But you're afraid to practice. Amen. What's wrong with practice? Doesn't that make perfect? Hallelujah. No, God begins by giving you opportunities just to be refreshed and blessed, and you won't take them. Because it requires getting on a plane. Well, I don't need all that. I can relax at home. I will admit, getting up at those heights above the clouds and looking into the glory of the heavens, it'll bring you to a place close to God. You might even want to repent, because you want to make sure you're going to get back down. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, This is the reward of eternal glory that he's bringing us into. He's bringing us into that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have to endure in what we are perplexed by right now. Amen. And enduring what we are perplexed by right now means overcoming what we are perplexed by. It isn't just putting up with, it's overcoming. Hallelujah. That's not as hard as we make it out to be, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and the Holy Ghost is God. Amen. Amen. And he always leads us to triumph, right? Yeah. All right, but now wait, he leads us to triumph. That means I've got to follow him. If I'm going to be an overcomer in this, I've got to follow him. And if I follow him, then I'm going to triumph. I'm going to be in a place, you know, of majestic glory. Hallelujah. See, doing some things for God brings damage to the person that's involved in it. It brings some damage. And that's why a lot of folk don't want to get involved in that kind of obedience, because they love themselves too much. And those are the ones that are saying, well, it doesn't take all of that. I don't think God wants me to go through that, and this, that, and the other. That's a love for oneself that makes excuses about, you know, whatever it is that you're being persecuted by, tempted by, tested by, the trials of life. Listen, it doesn't do any good whatsoever for you to go around complaining about your life. Just complaining. And talking to people about how hard your life is and the things you're going through, and singing that sad song. Every time you get around them, you pull out your violin and you start playing it. And everybody starts crying. And we all have a pity party because life is hard. No, that doesn't do you any good, and it sure doesn't do the people listening to you any good. Right? No. We need to have a voice. And that voice needs to be a voice of a believer. Yes. Amen. The voice needs to be a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen. 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 Make a joyful sound. Yes. So you can make a joyful sound when you're not joyful. Yes. Now that's where he's wanting you to make it. Yes. See, that's the part of us that we deal with. It's when I'm not joyful. It's when I have my problem. And God says that, you know, your problem is a conduit to your blessing. Glory. Let the weak say, glory. I'm strong. Yes. Let the sick say, yes. I'm healed. Yes. Let the poor say, yes. I'm rich. Yes. So God says, if you want to be blessed while you're in the problem, say the answer. Say the answer, praise the answer, make a joyful sound, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. See, while you're in the darkness, be the light. Amen. Don't be like these crank up things that you can buy. It's got LED lights. You crank it up. That's what church is for a lot of believers. Crank it up. That's why some believers need praise and worship. Jesus didn't need it. He woke up and there were 50,000 people outside of his door saying, where is he? No praise service or nothing. He went right at it. Did what he had to do. See? Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. We're going to reign with him in this life. Amen. It says, if we deny and disown and reject him, verse 12, he will also deny and disown and reject us. Well, how does that work? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, right? Right. If we deny disown and reject him, then he denies disown and rejects us. Well, that's simply a law of the kingdom. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever you and I sow, that's what we reap. If we sow denial, rejection, and mistrust, then that's what we get back. So ultimately, what you see is God is in everything. As you're being denied and rejected, guess what happens? As you feel like you're being disowned, guess what happens? You're being convicted to get right with God. So he's right there in the denial and being disowned and being rejected. That's his power. His love is so great that even in those aspects, he's there to turn you. Hallelujah. Oh, he's past finding out. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. If we are faithless, do not believe and untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character. For he cannot deny himself. You know why he cannot? Because he never changes. Unlike us. He never changes. Right? So there's no reason for denial on his part. Because he never changes.
Hallelujah.
Right? I said never. Wouldn't you like to be like that? Never change. Always constant. Moving in righteousness. Come on. Exhuming characteristics of God out of your life. Always. Oh, yeah. It's in there. But we make decisions about what we release. Amen. We're making decisions about what comes out and what's released. Whether it's something out of the soul or whether it's something out of the spirit. See, we do that. We do that. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Don't you just love talking about suffering? I didn't get no. I got a yeah and a, you know, is that an amen or what? All right. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Praise the Lord. And this kind of ministry is for mature Christians. And you say that you are, so I'm going to give you what you want. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Praise the Lord. I guess we should start with verse 1 because we don't want anyone feeling as though they're under some type of condemnation, you know. Therefore, since we are justified, say, I'm justified.
Justified.
I'm acquitted. I'm declared righteous and given right standing with God. Now give the Lord a shout for it. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now that's who you are. And that's why he's talking to you like this. Because of you, that's who you are. He can only talk to you like this because you are acquitted. You've been given right standing with God. Now, you can't talk to a sinner like this because they don't have this. Right? Now, if you consider it to be chastening, then, you know, you accept that because he only chastens those he loves. Right? So that's number two in, you know, in your favor. Praise the Lord. So you can get happy about God chastening, can't you? Can't you? I said, can't you get happy about it? Yeah, you can get happy about chastening on God's part for your life because if he didn't do it, then you're not loved. Now, that's big not to be loved since God is love. To say that you're not loved means that God has nothing to do with you. Right? Praise God. So we can get happy about a word like this. Amen. Praise God. Now it says, therefore, since we are justified, hallelujah, we are acquitted, we're declared righteous and given right standing with God through faith. So now I have to use my faith then in this particular area of my walk with God. Why? Because the devil is always heaping condemnation on you. Yeah, see? Even when you don't hear him, he's talking too. Yeah. When you don't realize it, he's pointing an accusing finger at you. Right? And he's talking about you in an acquisition, accusing way before God, just like he did Job. See? Now, you can blame God for your affliction. You can. You're not ready to say amen on that? Huh? Yeah. You can blame God for your suffering and your affliction in this manner because he knows that apart from it, you're not going to get where you need to be. You understand that? Amen. Job is the one that allowed us to see that God was willing to allow certain things, you know, based on the fact that he could prove that there was something resident within Job that the devil thought, you know, he could trump or he could overcome. He was just proving something to the devil. But see, he's not doing it in that manner anymore. That's under the old covenant. That is also a part of an existing righteously before God, before Christ came and paid the price for us to have an eternal righteousness that's God-given. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So, God realizes that in order for you to develop and get to where you need to be, that you have to be trained. I mean, even the Israelites, he allowed them deliberately to confront the enemy so that they could have a different mentality and become warriors instead of servants with a slave-like mentality. He brought them around by the enemy. He could have taken them another way. You know, that easy way that you've been wanting to take. It could take you down that highway, right? Toll-free. You notice I didn't say toil. Toll-free. Yeah. But no. For you and I to develop and to be all that God desires for us to be as far as the experience of Christ, being conformed to his image, yes, you will have to confront things. You have to endure and be patient until the end of it. Now watch this. To the end of it doesn't mean that that is the end of your afflictions. That's the end of that one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Amen. Amen? So we'll never be without affliction in the earth as on this side of heaven, because you're always in class, you're always in development on this side to become all that you need to be in Christ on this side. You're not going to take anything to heaven that you didn't get here. You're not going to pass into some place into heaven that you didn't previously work out with the Lord while you were in this planet. You know, that's why some of our instructors have said when they went to heaven, they saw certain individuals teaching people because they didn't get it. See, there's not going to be this equality in heaven like it's in our Constitution. It's not going to be there, see, because you're only going to go into that level of heaven that you have, in fact, paid a price to get into through your obedience to Christ. Now, some people will say, well, now that sounds like works. No, you're in heaven. You didn't do anything for that. Jesus paid the price for you to get there, see, but you're not going to end up into, you know, certain areas and certain experiences in heaven until you've been prepared. You're just not going to walk up into the throne room and face God and say, hey, Pops, what's up? Don't work like that. Amen. Now you have to, in a sense, develop a taste for that, because if you don't hunger for something like this, then you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in you to that degree. You understand it? And that's why the preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom is so necessary in our world today for the body of Christ. You know, and not this milquetoast ministry that people are getting, the sugar pill stuff that just makes them happy for that service, but they don't carry anything out, and they don't know how to do business in the kingdom. They don't know how to do life. And they still need somebody else to come along, lay hands on them, still need somebody else to come along, give them something. Understand what I'm saying now? Hallelujah. Jesus didn't walk around with a pocket full of money, but he had all the money in the world. He had access to it through his faith. He said, today there's some in the fish's mouth. Go down there and get it. It was enough to pay his taxes, so that wasn't no cheap coin. Come on, somebody. Paid his taxes and Peter's. Peter is a businessman. He's running a business. So that coin or those coins were worth something. Amen. And the poor man has no need of a treasurer. Huh? And treasury being so big, Judas was able to steal from it with nobody knowing. He got away with it up until the end. Because nobody had any idea how much was in there, but they knew it was a lot. Amen. Now, he won that for you and I. You need that prosperity, those riches, to do the will of God. Amen. Well, now, praise God. Where were we here? Romans chapter 5. All right. Verse 1, it says here that we've been declared righteous and have right standing with God through faith. I believe it by faith. Do you? He said, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 2, through him also we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith, same faith working, into this grace or this state of God's favor. Say, I live in the state of God's favor.
I live in the state of God's favor.
Amen. Somebody asks you where you from, you say, I'm from the state of favor.
Amen.
Well, where is that at? Well, that's in the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of God. Amen. Make them fish a little bit. Don't give them all your riches at once. Amen. We live in the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. This is a sure thing, folks. Amen. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. See, you can't get away from glory. Is all in the Bible.
Amen.
This phenomenon of the glory of God is all over the scripture. And Paul is speaking about it like his second hat. Right? You know, we have to convince the body of Christ today that they can walk in the glory. We've fallen so far from what he was teaching. We'd rather fight over certain points of the gospel and what is still working, what's not working, what you can have and what you can't have anymore. Well, God doesn't do that anymore. Amen? And he's speaking about this like his second hat. It should be common. Amen? Somebody should come to know Christ through you just because God wants them to tomorrow. Somebody should be able to receive their healing as you lay hands on them just because God loves them and he can use you.
Amen.
Second hat, it's just a matter of fact that you're surprised if nothing didn't happen throughout the day. My Lord, didn't nothing happen? What's going on? Didn't see anybody encouraged. Nobody got saved. Nobody got healed. What's up with that? Now that should be an everyday occurrence. Because we've got access. We've got answers. We've got introduction by faith into this grace, this state of grace, God's favor, right? And he said, let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. That is, hey, hope of enjoying or experiencing and enjoying the glory of God has to do with God using me in his plan. That's my hope. See, that's what I'm anticipating, looking for. That's what I desire. If I can't be used by the Lord, what purpose is there being here? What purpose is there, you and I, being here if God can't use us and all we're living for is for ourselves? No, that's no reason to be here. Hallelujah. Move on to verse 3. Moreover, let us also be full of joy when Jesus comes back. Mm-hmm. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. See, joy is a high place of expressed faith. Joy is a high place of expressed faith. Faith is being used. It's in action. That's joy. Right? Now, that other stuff that people do is not really joy. It's some form of happiness, but it's not really joy. Someone put it this way: Jesus first, others second, you last. Ouch. So he said, let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Now you see why he's saying you can rejoice and exult and triumph in your troubles? Because he's not talking about, you know, you being laid off. Come on. Going through some type of divorce. I mean, why would he give us all of that instruction in the Bible and make it hard for you to divorce if that was a part of the afflictions that got you closer to Christ and got you in a place where you can be used of God? He didn't put that in the mix. Otherwise, he wouldn't talk to you about honoring one another, esteeming one another higher than you do yourself. See, he gives you all of the ingredients to take care of that, so when the real affliction comes, you know what to do with it. It's not a mixed bag. People are counting some of the things that they're going through to be the sufferings of Christ. That's just a mess that they got themselves in. It's not God at all. And God had to take everything from me before I could see. You know, God don't take stuff from nobody. He don't have anything that he wants. Why should he want your trash? You lost it. You messed up. You made bad decisions. And you lost it. You came to yourself and realized that you needed Christ. And then somebody fed you a lie in religion and you accepted it. Does that sound hard? I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, you know, but you know, this religious stuff is strong, and you got to come against it strong. So let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. How are you going to rejoice? Now, I can understand somebody rejoicing because they got rid of the old lady. I understand it. I can understand it. Some lady got rid of that old hard-headed man. I can understand it. But he didn't tell you to do that. He's talking about sufferings that have to do with your development in Christ. These are spiritual things. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. Now, I could come through the back door and say, how many of you want unswerving endurance? And you just go crazy. But when I tell you that you need to be full of joy now and exult and triumph in your troubles and rejoice in your sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving assurance, then you, all of the air just went out of your bubble. See, that's what we do in church. We have church based on the way stuff is presented. Charismatically, with force, preaching it the way we like to hear it with a song. That's what moves us. But when you get down to the real truth, then we tell God we don't want it. And how do we tell God we don't want it? Because we choose where we're to go to church instead of letting God choose. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. And endurance, which is really fortitude, and that's, my God, you need that. You're being embattled by so much stuff all the time. See? If Smith Wigglesworth lived today, he wouldn't have cable. He wouldn't have satellite. He wouldn't have a cell phone. He wouldn't have a television or a radio or even a newspaper in his house. He wouldn't read billboards as he rode down the road. Amen. He was keenly acute to the fact that there was not going to be anything to come through the gates to defile what he had going on with God. Well, we count that to be fanaticism. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we just keep watching our cartoons. He said, an endurance fortitude, what does it do? It develops maturity of character. Maturity of character is what? Approved faith and tried integrity. Boy, that's some meaty meat right there. Amen. You can't get this at the restaurant where you can have it your way. You just got to take what they have on the menu and you can't say nothing about it. Amen? Except, praise the Lord, I'm full of joy now. And it says, and character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. I just have that by habit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm reading a whole lot of stuff that I didn't have in my notes. But it's all good. Yeah. Amen. And it says such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God loves has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This has already happened. Glory to God. Amen. This is ours now. Who did it? I said, who did it?
Jesus.
Who brought it to pass?
Jesus.
Who made it possible?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we can glory in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Because our minds and our hearts are on Him. And we're being reminded as we go through what He went through. And so therefore, we just rejoice and say, praise God, I'm identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, this is living.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm identifying with my Savior.
Yes.
This is living.
Yes.
Man, the devil don't know what to do with you when he starts afflicting you and you're praising God for it.
Hallelujah.
Man, he thinks you lost your mind. What are you doing? You're not supposed to be praising Him. You're supposed to be cursing. You're supposed to be blaspheming. You're supposed to be complaining. No, I praise God for the afflictions and the suffering that comes my way. Why? Because I am being developed into the very self-same character and divine nature of the God that I serve. Hallelujah. I want that more than life. I said, I want it more than life. I said, I want it more than life. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it.